glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22 to set the stage for today's topic as facilitated by Pastor Jason Schiffel, Choices, Chances, and Changes. The title of this section of Matthew chapter 4 is The Calling of the First Disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 14th, 2025. And listening friend, Ellerick just prayed up our program and he asked God that you would all be blessed by tuning in. So we trust that in various ways you'll be blessed by maybe something that's said and shared, or somehow the Spirit will reveal God's truth to you as you look up into the sky or appreciate his handiwork or are thankful for your family or your home or running water or all the things that we can take for granted. May you be blessed by tuning in and thinking about the great God that we get to serve. Well, Pastor Jason, we're in Matthew chapter 4, and you titled this conversation, Choices, Chances, and Changes.
Yeah, it all kinds of rhymes, so I thought that was a good idea. Actually, when we read the passage, we're going to see those things. But the first thing is, I love this passage because Jesus keeps using this familiar phrase. Does anybody know what the phrase is in this passage?
Come follow me.
Yeah, come follow me. And it's really interesting. He uses this phrase in all of the different passages where the calling of the first disciples happens. Mm-hmm. But also in Matthew chapter 8, when men were asking him about being his disciples, he gave them this command also, follow me. In Matthew chapter 9, he finds Matthew, the tax collector, and he tells him to
follow me.
Right. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is speaking about the meaning of being his disciple. And he says, he who doesn't take up his cross and
follow me
is not worthy of me. In Matthew 19, Jesus meets a rich young ruler. And after testing him about his relationship with his money and his stuff and that, he tells him to what?
Let me guess. Follow me.
Yeah. And listen, at the end of the book of John, after Jesus is crucified and buried and resurrected, he appears to his disciples and he tells Peter one last time to what?
Follow me.
Follow me. Over and over and over again, Jesus told those he meets throughout Scripture to
follow me.
Right. And listen, that's his command to us today also. That's his command to those who are near to him, those who are far from him, those who are all around to
follow me.
Right. So my question is this, what would you do today if Jesus came into your office or your home, stood in, amongst you in church, and he said,
Follow me.
What would you do if Jesus called you to go to your coworkers, your neighbors, and your friends and say,
Follow me.
Well, what would you do?
Well, I was thinking the first thing I would do, aside from being just amazed, would just be to fall down and worship and surrender and submit and say, unworthy, and be overwhelmed.
Well, that's great that you said that, Mark. You know why? Because whenever I talk to people about Jesus, I hear a lot of times, and maybe you guys can chime in and help me with this also, but I hear people say, well, I'm not good enough to follow Jesus, or you don't know the bad things that I've done. You don't know the ways that I've messed up. I don't know if I can even come near to Jesus. Anybody ever hear anything like that from people?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. You know why? Because the only thing that qualifies any of us to be the followers of Jesus is that we're sinners.
That's right.
That's the only thing that qualifies us to come. Jesus doesn't come and he goes, wow, Elmer, you are so gifted. I can't wait to get you into my kingdom. He doesn't come to Gail and he goes, Gail, I just love the way you sing. Come on, I need you in the kingdom. He doesn't come to any of us and say to any of us, wow, I'm so impressed by you. I need you in my kingdom. He comes to us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, while we were still far from him, and says what?
Follow me.
Exactly. And so that's the qualification. So I've taken it upon myself in the last number of months specifically, whenever somebody says to me, well, you just don't know what I've done. I'm like, oh, that's good, good. Keep telling me. And then they say, well, you don't understand. I could never come near Jesus. I'm like, that's good news, because he doesn't need you to come near to him. He desires to come near to you.
Hmm. Yes.
It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that he came and preached peace to those who were far and those who were near, and all had access to the Father through one Spirit. Not that we can come to him. See, when I titled this message, Choices, Chances, and Changes, Mark read the passage that I got, and he immediately said, I see the choice. And I bet you, I'm not going to out you yet, but I bet you that you saw the choice was that they decided to follow Jesus. When actually in the past, the choice that matters in the passage is that Jesus says to the brothers, come follow me. Jesus, listening to the Father, looks at these brothers and he says, come follow me. That's the first best choice, and that's the choice that God makes, is that he reaches out to people. Listen, none of us, if there were qualifications to come into the kingdom, none of us would be able to get there. I love how Luke 5:32 says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right. I don't need a bunch of you who are right. I need a bunch of you who admit how wrong you are, and then for you to realize that I came to save you. I came to bring you into the kingdom. Being a sinner was the only qualification any of us had for joining Jesus' movement, for joining Jesus' kingdom. Jesus didn't call us because of our righteousness or our giftedness or our goodness. He called us because he loves us. See, what I think is sometimes we get love wrong because love becomes about what we can love about somebody, not that we just love them. Have you ever had to love somebody who's really difficult?
Yes. Yeah. Did you point to
That's Ron, that kind of sound you're hearing.
Life is like that.
Ron. Oh, boy. It's going to be a long car ride home for you, brother. So you've ever had to deal with somebody who's really difficult, somebody who's really hard?
Yes.
And how many of you have said, I just don't like that person? Mm-hmm. By the way, listen, I think it's okay to say that. Mm-hmm. Because the call isn't to like everybody. The call is to love everybody. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that if we love them because we like them, that's conditional love. If we love them because we're called to love them, that's unconditional love. That's what Jesus comes to do. That while we were at our worst, Jesus comes to proclaim to us that he loves us and that he desires for us to be in his kingdom. Just think for a minute with me. If you are just kind of a really unhappy and at times despicable and just, oh gosh, dour human being, and yet you're still invited to come into the house of the king and to be with him, that's life-changing. That's life-changing.
Yeah.
So in this passage it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. I love how simple the Bible is, right? The Bible says they were casting nets into a sea. And if you're, say you're a farmer and you have know nothing about fishing, it makes sure that you understand that casting the nets into the sea is because they're fishermen. The Bible adds that extra detail for those who are not fishermen to understand that, oh yeah, by the way, the net thing, that means they're fishermen. Not that we already didn't have enough details, because they're casting a net into a sea. And then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So we already said that the first best choice was when Jesus listened to the Father and saw these people and turned and said,
follow me.
Yeah. Now we come to the chance, right? Because how many times... And I don't know when you guys all came to faith and when you guys, but how many times might you think that you heard the gospel before you actually accepted Jesus as your Savior? How many times was Jesus crying out, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, before you made the decision to say, you know what? I want to declare my sin. I want to declare my absolute need of Jesus, and I want to follow him. Does anybody have a story where it took them a little longer than, you know, maybe... Because there are some people who are like, I don't know, I was just born a Christian. But anybody have a story where they, you know, hey, I didn't accept Jesus till a little bit later, and I really had to wrestle with that?
Well, mine would be, it's been a process. It was at a very early age. I knew at a camp, about 9 or 10 years old, I was a sinner, needed a Savior, so that was a no-brainer. That was an easy decision. But I think there's been a constant overarching surrendering when new knowledge or new understanding, or he's not just the weekend Jesus, he's full-time, he's Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but he's Lord also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anybody else?
We grew up in a church, a denominational church, and during the Jesus movement at McCormick Place, downtown Chicago, I was probably 27.
Mm.
And my sister first came to the Lord 2 years before that in a Messianic congregation in Chicago.
Mm.
Wow. But Dale Evans Rogers was preaching or teaching. McCormick Place was filled up.
Mm.
She made an offer to come forward. Hundreds came forward that day, and that included me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty old.
You know what fascinates me about the story you just told is that this past week we were reading and studying John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we believe that John is present there with John the Baptist, that John, the writer of the gospel, is likely there when Jesus is calling these disciples. And it says in there, it was about the 10th hour, which means that John, the gospel writer, remembers in his mind the moment he met Jesus. Mm-hmm. He remembers the day and the time and all that because it's the most important thing. Just the same as your story just now. You're like, I can remember who was preaching. I can remember when it was. I can remember, for the same for me, when I accepted Jesus, I can remember still, 20 years later, all of every part of that. I can still remember all of it that happened, the good and the bad around all of that. I didn't accept Jesus until I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. But listen, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens, some translations say, proclaim. So every moment of every day, of everywhere you go, all of creation is proclaiming, come follow me.
Well, wasn't there that passage, too, where the angels rejoice when a sinner repents?
Yeah.
So somehow in the heavenlies, they're aware of those decisions that people are making. So I'm thinking somebody's driving to work today, and they've never come to the point where they've recognized they need a Savior. They need Jesus Christ. And today might be that divine appointment, that notice into mind and hearts that they need Jesus, and they need to confess their sins to him.
Right. And one of the greatest challenges we have in the world today is that the world has this message it keeps broadcasting to people that you can save yourself, or we have these alternate other ways that can also save you, whether it's self-help or whether it's, you take your pick. You know, I think Tim Keller said recently, he said, you know, there was a time in history where it was either you believed in God or you didn't believe in God. But he says, uniquely now, we have the same trouble that Elijah had in the time that he preached, and that was that you can either not believe in God or you can pick what God you want to believe in, because there are all kinds of gods to believe in.
That's right.
And so we're in this very unique place and very unique time. But listen, Christians, we need to take heart that Jesus is still crying out throughout of all creation and through his people to come follow him. That he's petitioning people into the core of their hearts to come and to follow him. He's meeting them where they're at, because that's what happens in this passage, right? They're out fishing.
Yes.
They don't think they're going to meet Jesus. By the way, one of the interesting things about this passage is it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is not the first time he walked by the Sea of Galilee. This is probably, most scholars believe, not the first time he met these brothers. He probably knew them, knew their families. These towns were small. And so Jesus is walking by, and he's probably seen these brothers. They've probably heard Jesus preach. They probably know who Jesus is. And now Jesus, at this moment, God prompts him to say, come follow me. And it's interesting because we can get messed up in what we think coming and following Jesus is. Because for many people, following Jesus means go to church.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that even the best of us only spend how long at church?
1 hour a week.
1 hour a week. So out of all the hours you have out of the whole entire week of your life, you spend 1 hour following Jesus if you think Jesus is going to church.
Mm-hmm.
What do you actually think following Jesus means?
always thinking about the Lord and whatever you're doing, thinking you're doing it to please the Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I was going to say be concerned about His glory mm-hmm. rather than your own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sing praises,
yeah.
Not following the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
So listen, that means that it'll look like we're swimming upstream a little bit, and that's because we're following Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things that it does mean and it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we act intentionally counter to the world in a way that is antagonistic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're swimming upstream because we're living the way of Jesus. And so that also includes, you know, includes don't do this, don't do that, all the things that we... But it also includes not being carelessly offensive.
I think it's whatever you do, you're doing it like Jesus does, with love in your heart for the other person.
Yeah,
whoever you're serving, whoever you're doing something for, you have to have love for what they're doing.
I agree with you 100%.
I was thinking Jesus' words on the cross, not my will, but thy be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So really conforming to His image and seeking what God wants to happen.
Yeah. And so the greatest choice in this passage made is when Jesus turns to these brothers and He says, come follow me. Now, in that, they now make a choice, don't they?
They do.
But not only do they make a choice, but they're taking a chance. See, they were fishermen. They had an established role in their culture. They had an established job. They had an established way of being, an established way that they were accepted in their culture. Now these brothers are going to swim upstream because they're going to follow Jesus. By the way, let's just think about this for a moment, knowing all we know about the Gospels. Do you think the brother's life is easier pre-Jesus or post-Jesus?
Mm-hmm. I say pre-Jesus.
Yeah, pre-Jesus. They're just out there on the Sea of Galilee, throwing the nets in the water, catching the fish, bringing the fish ashore, cleaning the fish, selling the fish.
And
then after this, what happens?
They're not knowing exactly where they're going.
Not knowing where they're going. They've got the Pharisees following them around, antagonizing them, questioning them, giving them trouble. The Pharisees are trying to kill the guy that they're following. I mean, it becomes a real mess.
Yeah.
So they're intentionally making a choice to step into. By the way, Jesus doesn't lie to us when He tells us what this is going to be like. Right in the upper room, He tells the disciples, and by extension us, He says, if the world doesn't like me, if the world hates me, then guess what?
Mm-hmm. He hates you.
It's going to hate you too. That's why I always get so shocked when the followers of Jesus are like, I don't understand why they don't like us. I'm like, the Bible told us. And by the way, stop taking it personal. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about you embracing Jesus' way and following Jesus. That's what the world doesn't like. Because now you believe that there's only one Savior, not that they can be saved a million different ways. So we have choices. First, best choice is Jesus calling the disciples. Second choice is them choosing to follow Him and taking that chance, stepping out into the unknown, and then changes. Well, when we look at this passage, we don't immediately see the changes. But listen, we all know that nobody follows Jesus and isn't changed. That's how you know if you're truly following Jesus. John the Baptist, before Jesus even shows up on the scene, he says, you're going to know them by their what?
By their works.
Yeah, by their works, by their fruit. If you don't see any fruit, then what happens? You go, I just think it's in name only. I think maybe you're only going to church. I think maybe you're only saying you follow Jesus. Because if you really follow Jesus, we'd be able to pluck an apple, an orange, a pear. We'd see fruit. Which I have a friend of mine, he says all the time. He says the followers of Jesus should look a little fruity. But there's changes. By the way, here's the good news for us. Because this is another place where the same people who would say to me, I'm not good enough to come to Jesus. I'm not good enough to know Jesus. You don't know all the things I've been through. Then they would say, okay, I accepted Jesus, but man, it's not gotten easier. It's actually gotten more difficult. You know why? Because all of a sudden when you start hanging around with Jesus, you start spending time with Jesus, Jesus is going to start to work on all that stuff that's inside of you. When I read the Gospels, I think it's such good news to me that the disciples don't immediately get it. It's progressive. I mean, they've met Jesus, they're following Jesus, and they're still arguing along the road who's the greatest. Can you imagine the craziness of standing with Jesus and arguing amongst yourself who's the greatest? I mean, that's just nutty. Or the resurrected Christ standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with you, and you're going, yeah, but what about him? What about him?
But that's human beings. That's the way we always compare.
Yeah. And what I love in each one of those instances is Jesus doesn't go, golly, are you a bunch of idiots? Jesus says, oh, last will be first, first will be last. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's not just Jesus' words for applying to himself. That's also us. We're called to be servants who are willing to lose our life in loving other people. And when Jesus is with Peter on the Sea of Galilee, and he says, what about him? And Jesus says, stop thinking about that. What about you? What do you think? What about you and me? That's what Jesus says. And so Jesus is lovingly, consistently, firmly drawing those people back to himself, bringing them back to himself, progressively changing and working on the things. By the way, when he told us in this passage in Matthew chapter 4, that's exactly what he said, right? Follow me and I will make you. Jesus will do the work of making us into what Jesus desires us to be. It's progressive. We don't arrive ready to go. We arrive willing to make the choice to follow Jesus, to hear his call. And then the making part, that's the progressive change that happens as we follow Jesus. I think it's all good news for disciples of Jesus. Listen, if you haven't arrived yet, that's good news. That means Jesus is still working on you. That means that you still got things to do. By the way, everywhere we go, everything we do, we're telling other people to what?
Follow me.
Yeah. Follow Jesus.
And I like what Gail said earlier about how oftentimes we make those comparisons. Don't worry about everyone else, where they're at, how God's using them. Internalize and just ask God to use you this very day because he desires to work in and through you. It can be something simple, something that you say, something as you pray for someone, intercede on their behalf to a kind task or something that you do for somebody else as we all try to model Jesus and ask him to order our steps that very day. And he'll do wonderful things.
And sometimes it isn't even about having the right thing to say. Last week I was with somebody. I made a comment, one of those things where you're like, oh, I put my foot in my mouth. Like I could taste the shoe leather. And I thought, oh. And the next day that person called me and they said, thank you so much. And I said, for what? And they said, for saying what I desperately needed to hear. Mm. And I said, I thought I was offensive. They said, no, it's what I needed to hear and the way I needed to hear it.
Mm. That's the Holy Spirit.
It really was, because I was not trying to be offensive. I didn't carefully craft my words, but God delivered what needed to be delivered. And so sometimes it's not about saying the right things. It's about following Jesus and letting him say what he desires to be heard and said.
Come follow me, words of Jesus to all of us this very day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.